Good morning. Thanks for roughing the storm. Thank God I had my wife's all-wheel drive. I was able to back right out, and without that, I don't think I would have had someone pick me up. How many here have trucks with four-wheel drive? Raise your hand. That's awesome. Good for you folks. I don't have one of those. Anyways, welcome. We're in this series, The Hidden Option. It's a two-week series. Last week was the first week. This is the second week. And so if you missed last week, let me kind of summarize. The idea of this whole series is when you're stuck and you feel like you have no options, what do you do? And last week we talked about how God is a God of hidden options. And if we go to God, He will give us that hidden option. We had that amazing illustration of John Cullen, and he came to the end of his rope, and in a dream, God gave him the answer to his problem. It was definitely a hidden option, and it was crazy, and people were moved by it. But let me be honest. I'm sure last Sunday's message probably bothered some of you. Because the idea was, if you're a Jesus follower, and then you kind of humble yourself, and you cry out to Him, and you're stuck, and you're looking for a way out, and God, you have the answer. And what if God doesn't answer you? What if God doesn't straighten up your child, give you the hidden option for how to get your own life put together, or your spouse's, or your parents? What do you do? And so I'm sure last week some people were actually frustrated saying, well, it's great if God would provide that hidden option. I've humbled myself. As far as I know, I'm living a life that's pure in front of God. I've called out to Him, and He has not revealed to me any inside information, no hidden options yet. And so therefore, when you're stuck, you have to ask two questions. Is God my hidden option, or does God want me to be the hidden option? And I'll tell you, I'll vote for this one every time. Where I'm in a jam, I'm stuck, I don't know a way out, and I'll pray to God and humble myself, and He will reveal through a dream, a vision, through someone else speaking into me, through reading His word, He will reveal a hidden option, and I will see a way of escape and then bring blessing and hope into my family and other people's lives. That, I mean, I vote for this every time. But I have news for you that if you've gone this way and God has not revealed to you what that hidden option is, you know what it is? The hidden option is you. And what makes that difficult is when we're stuck and in that space of just being stuck, we don't feel like we qualify. We're down, we're low, some of us might even be depressed or weary. And therefore, it's really important that we ask, we kind of have this mindset, where if God wants me to be the hidden option, I must believe God qualifies the unqualified. Do you believe that? Come on, church. Be quiet today. God qualifies the unqualified. You see it all throughout Scripture, everywhere. And we're gonna see it today in Gideon, this amazing Bible character in Judges chapter 6, 7, and 8. Let me explain the context, what's going on. And so it's the book of Judges. And so Judges is after the book of Joshua. So Joshua is taking the people into the promised land where there's freedom and there's hope, but Joshua's died and he has not been replaced, so they have no leader. And so then what happens is without leadership, the people would wander. What do you mean the people would wander? Well, the people of Israel would actually stop worshiping God and start worshiping false gods. And so that would upset God. And what he would do is he would send discipline on his people so they would turn from their ways. And back then it would always mean a foreign nation with a foreign army that would come and kind of pounce on them. And then after a while, the people would say, hey, you know, it's like smelling salt, let's get smart here and let's turn from our ways and return to God and cry out to Him. And God would hear their cries, and then He would send a judge to come and pull them out of that mire and clay. And oftentimes that judge, and in fact this time it's going to be a military leader, that is going to call a farmer to a military leader. They're not going to believe because they're stuck. And the last thing they want to believe is that you're going to use me? as a hidden option to bring hope to the nation? And that's exactly what happened to Gideon. Read this. Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of the winepress to hide the grain from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." He's hiding. The angel says, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." I picture Gideon going, are you talking to me? You have the wrong guy. Certainly it can't be me. And that's what it always is like when in this situation, because at this point, we're stuck and we don't feel worthy. But God qualifies the who? Okay, tell your neighbor, God qualifies the unqualified. Come on, tell your neighbor right now. Yeah, I'm looking around making sure everyone does it. God qualifies the unqualified. Well, God doesn't give up, but he makes a lot of excuses. Sir, Gideon replied, "The Lord is with us. Why has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they save the Lord, brought us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites." Just excuse after excuse, but God will not give up because he wants to qualify the unqualified. Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you." "But Lord," Gideon replied, "how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family. I'm not the guy you're looking for. I'm the least of the least. You're looking for the wrong guy. I'm not the hidden option in this case." But God has a different idea, and he won't give up. Check this out. The Lord God said to him, "I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting." I love this. "As if you were fighting against one man." Do you believe God qualifies the unqualified? Do you believe it? Let me just read some incredible stuff that is so true to life because it's right out of Scripture. I love Scripture because it's so true. These are people that God used to be the hidden option. Noah got drunk. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob lied. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses stuttered. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah was too young. David was an adulterer. Jonah ran from God. Elijah was suicidal. Miriam was a gossip. Job went bankrupt. Isaiah preached naked. That's kind of crazy. John the Baptist ate bugs. Martha worried about everything. Mary Magdalene was demon-possessed. The Samaritan woman was divorced several times. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul was a murderer. Timothy had an ulcer. Peter denied Christ, and Lazarus was dead. Okay? You know why you're here today? Because maybe you're stuck. And you've been praying to God to unstuck you. Right? Unstuck me, God. God, pull me out of this. You're my hidden option. Well, that was last week. And that works sometimes. But if it doesn't work, guess what? He wants you to be the hidden option and to bring hope in life into your family, into your school, wherever you hang out. Because God qualifies the who? The unqualified. He does. And that's why you're here. And if you're online, you just listen. This is what God has for us. There's going to be delivery in the house today. Now, here's the situation. As soon as you kind of admit that, well, maybe God wants me to be the hidden option, and maybe he will qualify me, then you kind of have to really understand the ways of God. Because what God's going to do, and you're not going to believe it, because God is God and we don't really think like him entirely, I don't have him figured out, do you? Is what he'll do, it's called pruning. And pruning is a term from the garden. We see it in the Gospel of John chapter 15, where God says, I'm going to prune you, and pruning hurts because you cut off even good branches that are bearing fruit to bear even more fruit. And God says, I'm going to prune you so you will bear more fruit. I'm going to take more away. You're going to take more away? I'm going to take more away for my glory, says God. And then I'm going to have you in a space, and then when you call out to me and ask me what's going on, I will give you that information that you need. And then this whole idea of this pruning, this is the ways of God. You can see it all throughout Scripture. And you can see it with Gideon. The Lord said to Gideon, you have too many warriors with you. If I let all of you fight the Midianites, the Israelites will boast to me that they saved themselves by their own strength. Okay, just so you know, the army for the Midianites is 135,000 warriors, and Israel has 32,000. That's like 4-1. I don't know. I would think that would be pretty good odds. I mean, to win that, I mean, wouldn't God have to be in that? Are you hear what I'm saying? But guess what? This is the ways of God. Therefore, tell the people, whoever is timid or afraid may leave this mountain and go home. So 22,000 of them went home, leaving only 10,000 who were willing to fight. Scaredy cats. So what's going on? Most commentators feel that when God was speaking through Gideon to trim the warriors down, that the 32,000 Israelites actually could see the 135,000 Midianite warriors. And so they're kind of, you know, hey, if you're timid or afraid, you can leave. They're kind of sizing things up like guys do. Well, guys always, guys are like this. You walk into a room, you're going to size it up. You know, who's tough, who's not. It's just the way we are. Well, there's 135,000 of them. There's 32,000 of you. I'm out of here like ants on honey. 10,000. Guess what? He's not done pruning. But the Lord told Gideon, there are still too many. Imagine Gideon going, are you kidding me? Bring them down to the spring, and I will test them to determine who will go with you and who will not. When Gideon took his warriors down to the water, the Lord told him, now, this is very important that the Lord has been very direct at this phase in Gideon's life, very direct. Divide the men into the two groups. In one group, put all those who cup the water in their hands and lap it up with their tongues like dogs. That means they're kind of lapping it up like this, kind of looking, making sure the enemy doesn't come. In the other group, put all those who kneel down and drink with their mouths facing the stream. Only 300 of the men drank from their hands. All the others got down on their knees and drank with their mouths in the stream. And the Lord directed Gideon, with these 300 men, I will rescue you and give you victory over the Midianites. Send all the others home. Okay. 300 against 135,000. God is doing some major pruning because this is the ways of God. He wants the glory. He wants it. The Apostle Paul, who planted a lot of churches, you can read about in the New Testament, said, we should only boast in Jesus Christ, and that's right where he wants us. But when we're in this space, when he wants us to be the hidden option, it's very important that we, when he trims us down, okay, ask him, what is going on? Like, for example, when I visit, make hospital calls, oftentimes that person's there, and of course they're, sometimes they're hanging on for life, sometimes they're just fine, but, you know, we pray for healing, but almost every time I'll say, now when you're here, God's obviously, you know, doing some pruning here. He allowed this, so ask God why he has you here. What's he have for your life? What does he have for you? And maybe that's why, you know, I don't do as many hospital calls as I used to. Word got out. No, but that's the thing to do. Because we have this relationship with God. And so we ask God, what is going on? I love this young lady, Esther Havens. She's a humanitarian photographer. And she worked for a couple organizations that would want to raise money for the underprivileged in Africa, specifically women. And she would take pictures that would gain sympathy of women who were distraught in Africa, particularly. And, you know, flies buzzing around their head and malnourished, and hopefully to raise money for these organizations and prayer. But she got to the point, as a Jesus follower, where she was upset with herself. She had no good options. She felt like she was hiding behind her camera. Because she would take these pictures, and then she would fly and go to her home in America and kick up her feet and sip lemonade. And she was at the end of herself. She was ready to quit. You can read, you can blog, I mean, you can get Google it, you can read all about it. True story, amazing story. She comes to the end of the rope, and God's just trimming her down, man. She's just frustrated. And God says, you know, you're my hidden option. And God spoke to her, and he said this, very direct. My light shines on them. Who we are is not our circumstances. And God spoke to her. And so she's like, wow, God's equipped me for this, but what do I do? And she just thought about it and was led to start taking pictures to show these African women in dignity. And she would actually, rather than shooting them straight on or shooting down on them, she would get down herself and kind of aim her camera up and give them dignity and radiance. And here's her first shot at this, and it kind of went viral back in the day. This lady is in desperate need, but that picture just gives radiance and focus and hope. And this lady finds Jesus through this relationship with this photographer. And here's her a few years later. This guy right here, that's him right there. So what about you? What about you? You're here for a reason. Say, I feel stuck. Well, call to God. Maybe he will reveal how to be unstuck. Maybe he will offer that hidden option. He does that. It's crazy when he does. It builds up our faith because it's just nuts. It's something information only God can give you through a dream, through a vision, through another person, through reading the word. It's awesome. But oftentimes, in fact, more often than not, he wants us to be the hidden option. But do you believe that God qualifies the unqualified? Do you believe it? Because you have to believe it. And then you have to understand the ways of God, that he's going to, for his glory, he's going to trim, do a little bit more trimming, and it's not going to feel good. But during that trimming time, you ask him, okay, what do you have for me? I want to bring hope into the situation. And boom, it starts to happen. But I just want to just hold your horses right now. I know some of you are getting excited right now. I can see it, okay? There's a third step. It's almost another way of God that he has for us, and that is to walk in kingdom authority. This is huge. Now, remember when I highlighted the narrative where God was directing Gideon, just boom, boom, boom? See, God directs us when we're learning about him and our relationship with him to be the hidden option. But then he starts to guide us and lead us. He goes from directing to guiding. Notice the change in Gideon. Gideon divided the 300 men into three groups and gave each man a ram's horn and a clay jar with a torch in it. Then he said to them, well, that's new. Now he's just saying with authority, now he just said to them, keep your eyes on me. When I come to the edge of the camp, do just as I do. As soon as I and those with me blow the ram's horn, blow your horns too, all around the entire camp, and shout for the Lord and for Gideon. I think he has some real God esteem going on right now, don't you? At least, you know, he did put God first, but he's walking in kingdom authority. Check this out. It was just after midnight, after the changing of the guard, when Gideon and the 100 men
with him reached the edge of the Midianite camp. Suddenly they blew their ram's horns and broke their clay jars. They held the blazing torches in their left hand and the horns in their right hands. And they all shouted for the Lord and for Gideon. And check out what happens. Each man stood his position. Another phrase of authority. Here's what happens. When you bring spiritual authority into your family, it rubs off. It's like good dessert. Everyone's going to want a bite. And some of you are here right now, and you're the hidden option for your family to believe God can qualify you, even though you don't feel like it, to allow him to gain the glory by pruning even more. And by asking him during that process, I trust you, God. What do you have for me? And to walk in that kingdom authority. And that rubs off. Your family needs this. Your school needs it. Hey, some of you students in here, this is where God is speaking to bring a real word of truth and hope into a context of compromise where so many students live. Right here. And so each man stood at his position around the camp and watched as all the Midianites rushed around in panic. I love it. Shouting as they ran to escape. When the 300 Israelites blew their ram's horns, the Lord caused the warriors in the camp to fight against each other with their swords. Those who were not killed fled. Just think how good they felt. For almost 7 years, those Midianites have been coming in, taking their food, taking their animals just at will. And now they're running. Now they're running. Check out this. Gideon then crossed the Jordan River with his 300 men. And though exhausted, they continued to chase the enemy. That's a good tired. Okay, tell your neighbor, I'm watching. I will call you out because we're small in number this morning because of the weather. Tell your neighbor right now, that's a good tired. Come on now. Some of you don't have a neighbor. I get it. I know, man. That's a good tired, man. That's a good tired. That feels good. When you exercise spiritual authority, the enemy runs. And that's a good tired. And then check this out. That is a story of how the people of Israel defeated Midian, which never recovered. Throughout the rest of Gideon's lifetime, about 40 more years, there was peace in the land. Okay, now the fun part. Now the fun part. Because the difference maker in all this is Jesus Christ. When he died on the cross for our sins and resurrected from the dead. Life before the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is radically different from life after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oftentimes, some people call it the old covenant, the old agreement or arrangement with God before Jesus died and resurrected from the dead. And then they call this side the new covenant, the new arrangement with God that we have as a result of Jesus' death and resurrection. Well, the radical shift is that in the Old Covenant or the Old Testament, there was so much physical battles going on all the time. And the goal was peace in the land. Well, there's been a radical shift in the climate because after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, it goes from physical battles to spiritual battles. And the goal is not peace in the land. The goal is bringing peace, Jesus Christ, into every space. We are the hidden option to bring Jesus Christ into that space. Let me just do a little bit of reading, just a little bit, just so you can see this from Scripture. It says in Ephesians 6, "For a struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after that, you've done everything, you're still going to be standing."
So this is spiritual armor. Talks about the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shoes of peace, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith. And all these armor parts are about Jesus. The moment you say, I'm going to follow Jesus in his ways, I'm going to turn from my ways and follow him, the moment you do that, you're not just saved from the penalty of sin, you're saved from the power of sin. Because as soon as you do that, all that armor comes on you, and none of it covers your backside. We don't run from the enemy. And we don't overcome by hurting people. We overcome by loving them. The Bible says, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And so, on a personal level, here's why you're here. A lot of you are stuck with no good options. And you've been crying out to God, where's God in this? And maybe it even turned you away from God because he doesn't speak to you. You don't have any, he's not giving you any hidden options. And the whole time, God wants you to be the hidden option. Well, that's why you're here. What's that going to take? Well, you have to believe that he will qualify the unqualified. And that's a hard jump to make. Because when we're stuck, we're oftentimes weary or filled with shame, and we just can't do it. All those excuses. We're too small. We can't do this. You have to believe it. Now go past believing to allowing God to have his ways in your life. And part of that is I'm going to hone you for my glory. I'm going to prune you a little bit. It's going to hurt, but you hang in there. And then you ask me during that pruning, what's going on? And I'm going to fill you with kingdom authority. And you're going to walk right into your family with that kingdom authority. And healing and hope is going to come to you. And maybe you've been through a divorce. Maybe some kids have run off. Maybe you've lost a job. Maybe you've gotten a bad news from a doctor that you have an incurable disease. Whatever it is, and you're calling out to God, and God's saying, you're the hidden option here. I'm going to work my glory through you. And that's for everyone in this room. Unless, of course, God gave you that first option where he's just going to reveal it, and that's wonderful too. But for most of us, this is where we live, and this is the ways of God. So that's privately how to take that into your life. What about corporately, as a church? Do you know that God calls churches to be the hidden option, to bring the peace of Jesus Christ where we live, like Elk River, Otsego, surrounding communities? Well, the next big opportunity we have on the map as a church is Feed My Starving Children. It's going to take place April 5th and 6th. Our small group has already signed up. We're so excited. At Prairie Elementary School. And it's going to be crazy. And people look at the website and say, wait, we're going to pack over 180,000 meals. And guess where the enemy wants to take us? We can't do that. We're too small. We're not that big. Are you telling me we need over 900 volunteers? How are we going to do that? God's going to do it through us. Because you know what the hidden option is? Not just signing up, but taking someone with you. Taking someone with you, say, hey, check this out. We're going to feed some starving children. And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. You just take them with you. When you introduce them to Jesus, this is all what Jesus would do. Are you ready to sign up, church? Come on, I want to ask you right now. Are you into what God has for us as a church? Come on, I see a lot of heads going up and down. Okay, we can do this. We can do this.
Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, may your Holy Spirit so work in our church. You're amazing, God. And you have put a call upon this church to be the hidden option for a lot of people. And we don't feel adequate, but that's okay. Because you qualify the unqualified. May we simply believe. And then may we allow you to trim us down, to prune us for your glory, and so we can bear fruit. And may we ask you, what is going on when you share with us? May we be obedient, step into that space, into that kingdom authority, and take your love and truth into our families, into our schools, where we work, into this community, into our Otsego, and surrounding communities. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.